Good afternoon. Hello, listeners. My name is Marie, and I am so glad to be with you here on System Kids today. I'm here with my good friend, Faith.
Hello.
One of the regular co-hosts of the season this year, and we're just glad to be able to represent the youth and care community across Manitoba. Here we are. But we're here on behalf of Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network, who works with young people in and from care across the province, ages 12-ish to 30-ish. And if you are a young person in or from care, we want you to know this is your network. You can reach out to them. You can give them a call if you're in the city, 204-982-4956, or anywhere in Manitoba, you can call for free, 1-866-982-4956. You can reach them by email, ask@voices.mb.ca. And they are also on Instagram, Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter. So no matter where you are in the province or what you're doing, I hope that you are listening to System Kids right now and that this was a good reminder that you can reach out to your network whenever you need to.
Mm-hmm. All right, shall we go into our icebreaker?
I think that would be a good idea.
All right, today's icebreaker is, do you celebrate during the holiday season? Whether that be Advent, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Festivus, etc.
Mm-hmm. There are so many holidays at this time of year.
So many ways.
So how about you? Do you want to start? How do you celebrate at this time of year?
Well, there have been years I do celebrate Christmas and other years I haven't celebrated so much. Currently, yes, always spending Christmas with the family, or whether that would have been a partner's family or my own. There have been other years I was a little more, let's say, independent, and I spent Christmas with myself and my cat, and it was good. Mm-hmm. It was okay. But it's always been the traditional Christmas. I get a little tree in my place. It's about 3 feet tall, mm-hmm, on a side table. And I usually try to make myself something nice on the times I was with myself. What about you?
Well, I was just going to say, I belong to this Facebook group, Black Women Who Love Costco, and it's mostly United States. So I get so jealous because they have like such interesting things at Costco in the States. And one of the things they have is they have full Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner for a single person. So it's just like, you know, that lasagna tray or the quinoa salad tray that they have, and they put like mashed potatoes, turkey, all the stuff that you would need, but just for a single person. And like the first time I saw it, I don't know if the first time they did it was like a couple of years ago, people were like, oh, that's so sad. But I was like, that's so perfect, because if you are on your own, you don't need a 20-pound turkey.
That's,
you just
right,
need enough to for you
yourself
and your cat. Yes.
Do you get the Costco pie while you're at it?
I never have.
The Costco pie is so good.
Which pie is that?
Just any of their pies. The Christmas pie.
No, I look, if they had individual servings, I might consider it. But I can't imagine sitting there, with their pumpkin pie and the whipped cream that they carry, like the red and white can. Oh my goodness.
Go Costco.
Go Costco. But for me, I celebrate. I love Christmas. I am an unabashed Christmas fan. I love twinkly lights. I love the spirit of the season. Yes, I do become very melancholy at the holidays, along with like Mother's Day and a few other holidays throughout the year. But it's like, I still need to do it. I still need to see the twinkly lights. I still need to hear the carols. I still need to have that moment outside looking at the stars.
Christmas is very, it can be very uplifting, mm-hmm, right? And it's, everyone decorates for like, just to make other people feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, you're driving down the street, like a residential street, and everyone's house is lit up. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to feel sad about that. But at the same time, sometimes it almost could bring sadness.
Yes.
Right? Because you might be longing or melancholic,
right,
and it's a reminder.
And it's a reminder,
yes,
perhaps, of what you're hoping for one day.
Yes.
But in my adult years, I'm really glad to have added a few holidays to this season. My sister-in-law is Jewish, so we get to celebrate Hanukkah, which I love. And it's like an extra excuse to get extra gifts for my nephew, which is fun. Which he doesn't need anything anyway because he's got too much. He gets spoiled. He's still little. And then Kwanzaa. So I'm on, I volunteer for another organization and they do Kwanzaa every year. So it's been really neat for the last 2 years learning about Kwanzaa and the seven values or the seven principles of Kwanzaa. And yeah, I just really like learning about different cultures and my own culture and being able to look at Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Christmas makes the season nice.
Very enjoyable. And what a broad perspective you get on the holidays mm-hmm. and how different people celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So let's take a quick look at the December calendar for Voices. So first of all, the Voices leadership team meets every Wednesday from 4:30 to 6:30 from October to June. It's open to young people who are in and from care, ages 14 to 24, who want to learn or practice different ways to be a leader. Some people like to stand up front and do all the speaking. Some people lead gently from behind, helping to prepare food or tidy up rooms or make sure technology works. The leadership team has a few different projects on the go, and their meetings are in person or virtual, depending on how many people have a cold. We don't want to be sharing each other's colds, and how the weather is treating everyone, because it can be hard to travel when there's a lot of snow happening. Mm-hmm. So if you are interested in participating on the Voices leadership team, give them a call in the office and let them know, and they will add you to the list for January when they start up again, or when they start the new year with new leaders joining. So again, the number in the office is 204-982-4956.
And that takes us to our rights.
Well,
oh, sorry. No, it does not. It takes us to the Manitoba Moose tickets that we have. So we have four tickets to the December 20th game versus Rockford Ice Hogs. Stay tuned for the details on the draw for those tickets, usually the week before the game.
Mm-hmm. And December 25th is the 18th annual Voices Family Christmas Party. It's open to children, youth, young adults, and older alumni of care who call Voices their family of choice for the holidays. Make sure you RSVP by Tuesday, December 17th, because then that gives the hotel a whole week to prepare. We don't want to leave it to the last minute. So we want to make sure everyone leaves the Voices Family Christmas Party with a full tummy and with full arms filled with some gifts and goodies. And we want to say thank you to members of the village who have already started pouring in their support, like Mr. Mikes, who holds a tree of wishes in support of Voices. If you are interested in buying a gift for a specific young person, go to Mr. Mike's restaurant, take a gift little card off the tree. It'll have the name and the gift wish or the wish of a young person, and you will receive a gift card for yourself when you bring that gift, right? So you bring a gift and you get a gift card to treat yourself to a snack at Mr. Mike's. So thank you, Mr. Mike's, for sponsoring Voices that way every year. And we also want to thank those private individuals who've already started bringing in gifts, who've called in to say that they're going to be dropping off gift baskets. There's a lot of love for the youth and care community at this time of year, so we say thank you.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you, Mr. Mike, and mm-hmm. thank you, Marie, for sharing that. Now that takes us to our rights highlight.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, actually, I just want to add one thing.
Yes. Just can't talk about these rights today.
Not getting to those rights. Just very, very quickly, Lynn, who is the Voices Outreach Coordinator, reminded us to let everyone know that the Employment Income Assistance and Manitoba Supports for Persons with Disabilities, mid-month and month-end checks, will be available for pickup. And the locations are at your office or at the Rory Street office. So the best thing to do is to call the service center and confirm where your pickup is. You can try your worker. They may have left it on their voicemail. But if not, call the service center and ask them where you are supposed to go for your pickup. So that's 204-948-2888 for the EIA pickup locations, or 204-948-6773 for the Manitoba Supports for Persons with Disabilities pickup locations. If you did not remember any of those phone calls, I know you remembered the Voices phone number, and they can let you know, they can remind you or help you find where you are supposed to call in order to get your pickup location.
Amazing.
Now.
Okay, I'm now. Just looking at you, giving the thumbs up this time. All right, on to our rights highlight. So we're going to be going over Article 5 of the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of the Child, and that is the right to family guidance as children develop. Governments should let families and communities guide their children's that oh sorry guide their children as they grow up. They learn to use their rights in the best way. As children grow, the less guidance they will need. Sorry, there was a little bit of a spelling error there, but that's okay. The second one, Article 11.1, United Nations Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, states that Indigenous people have the right to practice and revitalize their cultural traditions and customs. This includes the right to maintain, protect, and develop the past, present, and future manifestations of their cultures, such as archaeological and historical sites, artifacts, designs, ceremonies, technologies, and visuals, and performing arts and literature. So why are these rights important? How do they impact youth in care?
Well, I think these rights speak to the role of government as duty bearers to support families and caregivers to pass on knowledge to the children, youth, and young adults in their care. And even when you're not living with your family, you have the right to be taught about your rights, as well as the cultural traditions and the customs of your ancestry. And as we know, too many times in care, that part of our life, of our identity, can be lost. So this is just a reminder to the government as duty bearers, but also to caregivers and adult supports as duty bearers, to ensure that young people are taught their rights, first of all, but also taught their culture, the traditions, the history, the story, the beauty, the challenges, the everything about the culture that they were, that they're coming from.
That's right, and it is all of our duties to be reminding each other of what our rights are and educating, especially children, on those rights. All right, that takes us into our song,
right? Our first song. And just remember, your rights are interconnected, so always remember your four B's. You have the right to be healthy, to be safe, to be heard, and to be yourself. And then today you have the right to listen to a good song.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And the song is Stay by Jason Bernstick. Okay, so we're going to move on to community connections. And today's community connection is the Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba. They are located at 4 Fort Street. Their phone number is 204-786-0987. So the Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba is a nonprofit self-help organization dedicated to providing support, education, and advocacy for those living with mental health illnesses through peer support and other services. Otherwise known as MDAM, operates through Manitoba, supporting those affected by mood disorders, their friends, families, caregivers, and supporters. They provide free online and in-person support groups across the province. They have a resource page dedicated to our topic this month. Which, are we sharing that now?
Yeah, we can let them know.
Might as well. So the topic this month is going to be grief.
Mm, good grief.
Good grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have a great resource page with printable PDF files on working with young people who are experiencing grief, how to handle your own grief, etc. So definitely visit their website, www.moodmb.ca/resource/grief.
And I just quickly again want to state the phone number is 204-786-0987. They also have a peer support number, 204-560-1461. And their hours of operation are between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm, for the peer support line specifically. The office itself closes at 4:30, but you can call their peer support workers until 9 p.m.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, so taking a quick look at child welfare in the news. It's a pretty long article. I found it on ctvnewswinnipeg.ca, and it was published November 8th, 2024. And the title is Failures Laid Bare by Deaths in Manitoba Child Welfare System, Advocates Warn. Advocates are warning Manitoba's most vulnerable children are being failed by a system meant to protect them. Failures, they have been laid bare. Failures, they say, have been laid bare by recent deaths in the province. So they are talking about, or they highlight the passing of at least three young people in care. Xavier Butler, who was less than 1 year old. The young person, or that little guy, remind me his name. Well, there's the young lady, teenager, Maya Lee Grattan, who was 17, who was killed despite her mother telling child welfare agencies that she was concerned about the safety of her child. And there was a little boy, I don't want to mess up his name, his last name was Redhead, and of course I'm forgetting his first name right now.
I don't want to butcher
it. Oh, there
it,
we
so
go.
I
Johnson.
Wanna...
There, you
there
go. Six-year-old Johnson Redhead, who was a boy with complex needs, who died after wandering away from his school in Shamottawa. So those are only three examples of children in care who passed away in the last little while in recent days. And whether it's the Manitoba Advocate, Sherry Gott, or Jamie Pfau, who is the co-founder or the founder of the Manitoba Foster Parents Association, different foster parents, and even her name is Shelley Baker. She's the president of the CUPE Local 2153 and works for Winnipeg CFS. All of these folks are raising the alarm that there is not enough resources and supports being put into the child welfare system to support foster families, to recruit foster families, and to keep children and youth safe and alive while they're in care. The article highlights how CFS caseloads are creeping up again. I remember years ago when there were complaints that caseloads were too high. And then I don't know if work was done to bring them down, but we're hearing again or reading again in this article that numbers are on the rise again. They say, more than a decade ago, the final inquiry report examining the death of Phoenix Sinclair called for a ratio of 20 cases per social worker. The MGEU, which represents about 1,500 CFS social workers throughout the province, said that isn't always happening. And sometimes, in some areas, caseloads are as high as 50 per social worker, pointing to a shortage of workers in the system. So, all of these shortages are leading to a quick turnover of social workers, quick turnover of foster families and caregivers. So there needs to be some intentional support provided to folks who are stepping up to provide alternative care for children and young people.
Absolutely, and that requires a bit of a commitment, right? Mm-hmm. When one social worker has a caseload of 50 and there is extreme turnover, we can't be surprised when we see that the system isn't doing what it's stating it's doing, which is protecting children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just simply that there's not enough hands involved, you know, providing support.
Right. So on October 1st, the province made amendments to the Child and Family Services Act to allow customary and kinship care agreements. Minister Fontaine said that this is important. This is the most important thing her department is doing. Customary and kinship care agreements will allow children to stay with a family member rather than being apprehended into the CFS system, while still providing the family member with supports for care and ensuring biological parents don't lose their parental rights. She says, what you're seeing then is you're seeing more children staying with their families or in their communities, which goes a long way, she said, adding, this will help reduce caseloads and the number of children in foster care. The province has also made changes to Manitoba's Child and Family Services Act with Bill 38, an amendment recognizing and giving more authority to Indigenous jurisdictions. This includes transitioning Indigenous children and families with Manitoba CFS services to Indigenous service province providers, I think they meant to say. This also allows Indigenous service providers to become judge-appointed guardians of an Indigenous child, apply for a child's birth certificate, and investigate reports of a child needing protection. Child welfare is going to look very, very different in the next couple years, Fontaine said. The article has a lot more information, so if you've got a moment, Google CTV News Winnipeg.ca. I'm sure it'll pop up pretty quickly. Failures laid bare by deaths in Manitoba child welfare system. I don't know, what do you think about this as an alumni from our lived expertise? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's nice to hear that they're working towards changes in child welfare. You know, positive progressive changes. It's unfortunate that things had to get pretty extreme for that to happen. You know, deaths of children in care should have never happened. And I hope that they never happen going forward. So the changes being made, I hope, are just being taken seriously because, yeah, just what was going on, that's really not okay. And child protection should be about child protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like it's important, as Jaina, former co-host of System Kids, always says, it's important to take care of the caregivers as well. If we don't have supports in place for foster families to be adequately compensated, to have training, to have peer support opportunities, to ask like how to do things in a good way, then they're not going to stick around. And whether it's kinship care or customary care or foster care, everybody needs support. So if we can make sure that caregivers have the support they need, then hopefully we will have folks who stay around and can be committed to providing safe spaces for children and young people to grow and develop to their best potential. We have the right to enjoy our childhood.
I love that. That's a great point, Marie, especially about the caregivers being supported. I find that's not often talked about, and that's absolutely it. you know, they're putting in their effort to do their job, but we have to give them the tools to be able to do their job.
Yes. Yeah. The tools and the resources.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, the right to enjoy your childhood. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That takes us into our next song.
Yes.
Which is The Spark by William Prince.
Not The Sparkling Prince.
I was telling Marie about this song, and she's like, I can't find it. And I look over, and she typed in The Sparkling Prince. I'm like, oh. Almost.
I was like, oh, very Christmassy.
I want to see a sparkling prince. All right.
You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM.
So am I dreaming, or is this just how we're living now? Refuse to wake, 'cause I have never been this close. You always think I'm leaving before I've had the chance to stay. Darling, it'll be okay. If you look me in the eyes, if you look me in the eyes, I sing now. Don't be afraid of the fire, babe, I'd never let you burn. And all these bridges we cross, all that water underneath, when the ashes of lost love make it hard to breathe. My love, if we burn, would you burn right next to me? And there's so much revealed where you take the time to know me for who I am. God, just who I am. Don't be afraid of the fire, babe, I'd never let you burn. And all these bridges we cross, all that water underneath, when the ashes of lost love make it hard to breathe. My love, if we burn, would you burn right next to me? And I was in the dark the day that I met you. Now you expect me just to forget you. Act like the fire never burned. It was my solstice, my refuge. Sitting on the sun, I was so nervous to let you share with me this pain. Reason I don't take a day off. My intentions, they were pure. I'm just a beacon for chaos. That fire ever burn, just let it burn. I said if that fire ever burn, just let it burn. I sang, don't be afraid of the fire, babe, I'll never let you burn. And all these bridges we cross, all that water underneath, when the ashes of lost love make it hard to breathe. My love, if we burn, would you burn right next to me? And is it safe to say you are? Oh, babe, you're the flame, the fire, but most of all, you're the spark.
William Prince. Mm-hmm. When are you coming to Winnipeg again?
Welcome back. You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm Marie, and this is Faith, and we're so glad to spend the afternoon with you.
Yes. So this takes us into our main segment, We already shared the topic of this month, good grief. But we're not only talking about good grief. We're going to be talking about all kinds of grief.
Mm-hmm.
So, why are we talking about grief during the season of celebration? Well, as Mary and I were kind of talking earlier about how we celebrate the holidays, we mentioned that seeing the lights on the houses and all the joy, it can be hard to not feel uplifted and fulfilled. But there's a flip side of that where it can maybe cause feelings of sadness because maybe we're seeing something that others may have that we feel we don't have yet. We're in that moment. And it can bring up old feelings from the past. It can bring feelings of isolation. It can bring feelings of grief.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted to talk about what grief is today, mm-hmm. the different kinds of grief. We're going to go over how it can affect us, what it may look like, as well as talk about ways to cope with grief.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all going to be negative, although grief is a heavy topic, so I'm just going to give a fair warning. Not everything we talk about is going to be necessarily pleasant today,
mm-hmm.
but it will come full circle regarding how to handle grief.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is grief? Grief is a feeling that everyone has or will experience. It is one of the strongest emotions I believe we as humans can experience. It is often the state we feel after the loss of a loved one. However, grief can happen anytime a connection is lost. If we move out of a place of comfortability, we can even grieve over an older version of ourselves. And grief does not discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
The dictionary definition describes grief as deep sorrow, especially caused by someone's death. The feeling of grief can often imitate feelings of depression. However, the two emotions are distinctly different processes. For example, grief may not respond well to antidepressants, whereas depression can respond well to antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
So
in doing some Googling, and over the years I've heard about different forms of grief as well, and there was this one site, it was called distresscenter.com. They had a list of 10 different types of grief, but I just picked a few that I have either experienced myself or seen other young people with care experience go through. So first, uncomplicated grief. And that's like Faith just mentioned, it is straight, you lost something, you're grieving it. You lost someone, you're grieving that loss. It's quote-unquote normal after significant loss. Then you have disenfranchised grief. This is a term used to describe the experience of losing someone or something that isn't openly acknowledged or socially validated, such as the loss of a pet in the end of a non-traditional relationship. Like, how many times have you heard a friend say they had to put their cat or their dog down? And there will be some people who send hearts and little emojis about the rainbow bridge, and you'll have other people who roll your eyes, right? Like, not everyone understands what it feels like to lose a fur baby.
I'm taking 5 days off if my cat dies.
Mm.
I will be grieving.
There's ambiguous grief, which surfaces from situations without closure. For example, when a loved one goes missing, or when things just, like, when people kind of quietly fade out of your life. They never officially tell you why they left, what you did wrong, what changed for them. They're just gone. And so you have this ambiguous sense of loss and grief that you can't put closure on. There's secondary grief that comes from the ripple effects of primary loss, like the loss of identity, the loss of friends, the loss of financial stability. And I feel like this is one very common to the youth and care community, because we have that initial loss of that primary connection with our family, and then from there, other pieces of our identity or experiences can be lost if the supports put around us don't ensure that we get to keep those things. There's cumulative grief, which is when it feels like everything is piling up. This week, grandpa died. The day after, your puppy died. The day after, you lost your best friend. And it seems like day after day after day, just things keep happening, and you don't have time to process the first thing before the fifth thing is thrown on top. And finally, traumatic grief, which follows the loss that is sudden, unexpected, or violent. And these symptoms may overlap with post-traumatic stress disorder, which means you actually need some therapeutic intervention to navigate all these complex emotions and the emotional scars that may be left in their stead.
Ambiguous grief is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, to just have a feeling that someone or something is gone and you can't quite put your finger on it,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Often someone grieving will try and find ways to cope. Some of the older literature on grief describes the process of grieving as a set of stages. The first one being denial, so having difficulty accepting that a loss is real. The second one is anger. Experiencing direct anger at multiple sources, including people who couldn't save a loved one. Bargaining, when someone may imagine reaching an agreement so you don't have to deal with a loss, someone may also regret past actions that they imagine would have spared them from loss. The fourth one is depression, feeling the complex emotions associated with depression, including emotional detachment. And the fifth one is acceptance. Eventually, most people embrace the reality of loss, even if the pain is still there. So while these stages accurately articulate common stages of grief, it is important to note that not everyone experiences these stages in a linear fashion. Some may experience a few of the stages and not experience others. Everyone's experience of grief is going to be different. On that note, I would like to share with you a story, an experience of my own grief I've had to deal with, and how I was affected by some of these stages, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the grief that I experienced was not the conventional kind of grief. And I say that because my grief was felt over someone very close to me who didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
They were a victim of addiction, are a victim of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So I did go through the denial stage, thinking I could save them if I loved them enough that they would heal, holding on to hope surrounding detox, which often unfortunately led to disappointment. Then I went into the anger stage, and I stayed in that stage for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I would say I think I'm still in that anger stage. It's a hard one to let go of. And I kind of bounce between acceptance and anger, and it really depends on the day. So I didn't find that I experienced the bargaining stage, at least not yet, or I didn't experience the depression stage, because it's hard to identify or directly associate what was causing mm-hmm. feelings of depression. I couldn't just say it was this person. So I went through a bit of a phase where I didn't cope in the best way. I was drinking. I was just trying to do things that kept my mind off of this grief. And I probably didn't think about this person for a whole winter. And when I decided I'm not doing things that are unhealthy for me anymore, I don't want to drink anymore, I started to think about them every day. Mm-hmm. That grief popped up and would not leave. And eventually I just had to start talking about my feelings, and that helped. I started therapy, and that helped. And I'm in the process of working on forgiving them, but of course some days I'm still angry.
Mm-hmm.
As we went over, you may stay in a stage for a long time, leave it, and go back to it. It is not consecutive
linear,
that you go through them. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel deep grief over the loss of this person, the way I remember them as they used to be, but I also remind myself that life can still be beautiful without them. And having a strong support system also helps me
mm-hmm.
a ton. Marie, would you like to share any experience?
Well, listening to your experience makes me think that, I think that is an example of ambiguous loss, because the person is still there, but they're not there in the same capacity. You can't have the same kind of relationship that you once had. I definitely have that experience in my life. Like, my siblings and I, as a result of life, of our mom passing, of being in and out of care, we're all in different corners of the world. And definitely there are times where, with a few of my siblings in particular, I feel that same sense of grief over not having been able to share our childhood together, not being able to fight it out the way siblings do, and to learn how to just get over it and forgive each other and come back together again. For my siblings who have been caught in addictions, feeling so angry at those addictions that isolate them further from us. So, yeah, in my life, I have experienced a lot of grief, that is for sure. And I do appreciate learning that grief isn't just when someone has passed away, where it's so final, even if it is sudden and unexpected. But grief can be over a lot of things, even change, like going through a recent change in my own life and grieving what I have to let go of in order to move forward. So, yeah, grief can be tough. There are ways to cope, which we will talk about after our next song. But for our listeners, especially for young people in from care who you weren't sure what this is that you're feeling, is just kind of weighing on you, it might be grief. And let me just say that you are normal. You are human. Just like Faith said at the outset, this is a very normal human emotion. And there are things that you can do to cope. And there are resources you can tap into if you are unable to walk it through on your own. You're not alone.
Absolutely. And let's remember that we got to feel it to heal it. Mm-hmm. And you don't got to feel it all by yourself. You can lean on other people and have them support you through that process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing, Marie.
Thank you for sharing.
So that takes us to our next song. It is Virginia by Leaf Rapids. Mm-hmm. All right.
You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM.
She packs my lunches in liquor store bags, spends my UNICEF money on Marlboro Light, plays the golden oldies on an ancient transistor, and waltzes me around the kitchen. Yeah.
Welcome back to System Kids here on CKUW 95.9 FM. That was a really lovely song by Leaf Rapids called Virginia. I had never heard those artists before.
They are great. They I've seen them live a few times now in Winnipeg. Yeah, they put on a great show.
That's very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice and soothing considering our heavy topic. That was very gentle.
Yes. We needed a little break of that.
Yes, but now we're going on an uptick.
All right, so we're going to continue on with talking about grief. I just want to talk about how do we approach someone that is maybe dealing with grief? What do you say to them? I've been put in situations where someone discloses some information to me and I'm at a loss of words almost. I don't want to tell them I understand because I simply do not. But I also don't want to seem like I don't care. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can be tricky to respond to someone that's grieving. Something important to remember is to always validate their feelings. So it can be in our nature to try and fix things for someone who is hurting, but this does not help a grieving person. We should not relate their experience to one that we had because this may diminish the severity of the grieving person's feelings. It is important not to insinuate that someone just get over it mm-hmm. if they have been grieving for a long time. The best approach is to allow the grieving person to grieve. Telling someone how to grieve will never be helpful. So offering support to someone who is grieving could sound something like, whenever you want to talk, just know I am a phone call away. Or, you, your family, and your loved ones will be in my thoughts and prayers. Or sometimes simply just being there and grieving with them is enough. But we have to remember nothing we can say will help a grieving person heal from their grief. Mm-hmm. We can offer to be there for them through their grief. And grief has no timeline. Some may say that it... I know I've heard this before. I think I may have even told Marie earlier, I have a fun fact about grief, and then I learned about it. I'm like, oh. Some say that it takes a year to completely heal from grief. Mm-hmm. But again, everyone is different, and there is no step-by-step process to heal from grief.
Mm-hmm. This was our boyfriend example or a partner example. I've heard that the time it takes to grieve from a broken relationship is approximately half of the time that you were together. So if you were together for 5 years... it's okay if you still feel a pinch 2 years afterwards.
That's right. And reminding yourself that if you suppress an emotion, sure, you're escaping it in the moment, but it's not gone. It will come up later and it may be stronger because of the period of suppression. So it might hit you a little harder. We have to give ourselves the time to grieve, and it is okay to be sad. Mm-hmm. We are not designed to be happy all the time, to be happy and uplifted and joyful. We are creatures that, you know, we become sad, we become depressed sometimes, we go through these emotions. It's an ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm. We were gifted with a range of emotions.
Yes, and it is what makes life beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I do want to share a metaphor from Tanya Villanueva. She was 33 when her husband died, a hero during a rescue mission during the collapse of the World Trade Centers on the day of 9/11. Her metaphor describes an ocean. So here it goes. Mm-hmm. Here we are on this beautiful beach, and we are relaxing on a beautiful lounge chair, and life is wonderful. We're laying back, and the sun is shining on our face. And all of a sudden, a tidal wave just slams down on us, and it crushes our heart. And then we are violently yanked into an unforgiving ocean, and it's dark, and we can't breathe. Our heart is so crushed, and we can't get air. We're just trying to keep our head above water. We can't eat or sleep when we are being thrown around like that. And when you don't breathe or eat or sleep well, we can't function well. And when we can't function well, everything becomes difficult to do. What a powerful metaphor. It really puts into perspective how severe and debilitating grief can feel. When I first heard that, I was like, oh my goodness, I've definitely had this feeling before. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me that, you know, things can be going great and just like that, it can shift.
Everything can change.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what do we do when that happens? How do we cope with grief? How do we process grief? And how do we heal while simultaneously allowing ourselves to feel these powerful feelings? Mm-hmm. Marie, do you have any thoughts on coping with grief? Anything? I know we kind of talked about it before, but we're just about to get into it. But maybe just some things you want to share?
Well, I know that coping with grief is very individual. Like, we'll go over some suggestions that are popular. But at the end of the day, you know what makes your heart feel good. In a positive way. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of unhealthy things we could choose to lean on to make ourselves forget that we're feeling, or to make just numb everything out. But there are some healthy things that we can do to make ourselves feel better or help us get through tough times. Like, for me, it usually lands back at music. Like, just being able to listen to all of my favorite songs, some songs that make me cry even more, just to, like, for that catharsis, for that release. So coping and healing looks individual. It's different for everyone.
I like that, Marie. Yes, you know what your heart needs. And music is so therapeutic. Mm-hmm. So I just do want to quickly address that in the foster care community, grief is a common emotion felt due to often tumultuous childhoods that may involve more than one home placement, leaving and re-entering new family dynamics, and being separated from the biological home. Mm-hmm. So grief is definitely a universal feeling. Our platform, however, is directed at a certain type of audience. So I do just want to address that and say that we recognize how grief may be felt in our foster care communities. So some ways to cope with loss, sourced from NIH News and Health, include taking care of yourself. So that includes exercising regularly, eating healthy food, getting enough sleep, avoiding habits that can put your health at risk, like drinking too much alcohol or smoking. Mm-hmm. We know that exercise releases feel-good hormones, such as endorphins, that can help relieve stress, pain, and improve sense of well-being. Alcohol and other substances will, yes, suppress the uncomfortable feelings of grief, but those feelings will just come around later with more force, and this can have severe consequences. Mm-hmm. Talking with caring friends. So let others know if you need to talk. Mm-hmm. When we express our words out loud, they no longer only live inside of us. Thoughts are words that mull around in our brains, creating a perspective of our reality. This can cause tension in us if they are not expressed. Sharing our feelings and our stories can take some of that tension from inside of us and externalize it. Try not to make any major changes right away. It's a good idea to wait a while before making big decisions like moving or changing jobs. We sometimes think that changing our environment can change our internal states. However, it's often not the case.
Yeah. If you really need to, fine, go ahead and dye your hair purple. But let that be the most extreme thing you do. That will grow out, at least. Yeah.
I like that. I think most females have gone through the experience of cutting their hair off, at least, or dyeing it a crazy...
I did.
Yep. Mine's just growing back. I'm so glad.
I was really glad to read your point about not only talking with caring friends, but also balancing that out with talking to professional support, because our friends care about us, but they are on our level. When you're speaking to a professional support, you're talking with someone who is trained on how to approach grief, and that can be very beneficial. They have that outside perspective and can maybe say hard things to you to help you move forward that your friends wouldn't be able to say, or you wouldn't be able to hear from your friends. So talk with your friends, but just recognize they are your friends. At some point, you might need to move over to a professional.
Absolutely. And lastly, just be patient with yourself, because mourning takes time, and it's common to feel a mix of emotions for a while. But as we said earlier, grief does not have a timeline. Grieve for as long as you feel you need to. Surround yourself with people who support you in your grieving. Mm-hmm. And if you or someone you know is struggling with grief, there is a website, GriefShare. It has multiple sources for grief recovery supports, support groups in Winnipeg. So that's GriefShare, GriefShar.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to add, so when earlier when we were talking through the different kinds of grief, the first one we listed was uncomplicated grief. Just, it's just normal. That's just the way we respond to loss. But if your symptoms of grief, if your experience of grief is going on too long or too deep, it's starting to get out of control, that actually can be called complicated grief. It is now next level. So if you're feeling like your broken heart has now become something much bigger, it is okay and it is good to reach out for help. Talk to that professional. Get the support you need so that you can continue growing and developing to your best potential. So, we are so glad that we could be with you here today. Thank you for joining this conversation about grief. You can press play. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. There we go.
And we look forward to seeing you next week. If you want to share your experience with grief, please feel free to send us an email at ask@voices.mb.ca. And we would love to help. We would love to learn from your experience.
Absolutely. We're always here.